It's a known historical fact. Earth's history is a legacy of unsolved mysteries, questions, suspicions, and what appears to be multiple controversies that indicate mankind has indeed been visited by aliens from a different planet or dimension. Yes, many believe there are fallen angels known as demons that have interacted with man for thousands of years. Why, the book Chariots of the Gods hypothesizes visitors from outer space helped guide and construct many edifices built around the world, like the pyramids in Egypt or in South America. Additionally, some will claim the Book of Enoch describes a time when these demonic angels saw the daughters of men, that they were beautiful and pleasurable and took them as wives, giving birth to human giants that roamed the earth. Can this be true? Has our planet actually been visited by a race of non-humans that mated with human females, causing a species of human giants to be born? Well, stay with us as we explore this question on today's program.
In times like these, we need the armor of God for the well-being of our families, to help you stand in the evil day. The Church of God International presents Armor of God, a program of biblical understanding. And now your host, Bill Watson.
Well, hello there, and again, welcome to another international edition of the Armor of God. It is good to be with all of you once again. I think all of us would agree we're living in quite a day and age, especially the information highway that we have access to in our lives today. And what I'm talking about, many of you are, I'm sure, already ahead of me, is the internet. The internet. I mean, there is everything that you could imagine on that particular information highway. I mean, the good and the bad and the ugly. I mean, you can learn things and see things, everything from how to grow your hair back to how to get rid of some of the acne that you might have, to a few varieties of how to lose weight, or maybe some do-it-yourself videos right off of YouTube on how to repair your car or maybe your refrigerator. Or if you're interested in some conspiracy theories, how about the Flat Earth Society and its idea of advancing the fact that the earth is flat, or NASA, who allegedly covered up the whole thing and faked the moon landing. That's right. We never went to the moon. It was all faked by NASA, and it was just a big cover-up. Or the fact that there are still alien bodies over there at Wright-Patt Air Force Base in Ohio, the result of that crash in Roswell back in 1947. My friends, I mean to tell you, there's everything from soup to nuts on that internet that you can explore and just titillate your interest and or curiosity. Well, like you, I too was on the internet the other day, and due to some interest and questions that came my way, was surprised to find out just how many people, and Christian people as well, believe in the fact that fallen angels, that's right, demons, had sexual relations with female human beings, impregnating those ladies, and then giving birth to a hybrid species called giants of all things. You heard me right. I'm surprised, as probably you are, in hearing some of this. Nevertheless, there is a considerable amount of people who do in fact believe that demons had sexual intercourse with female humans that gave birth to this hybrid species of giants. Can this be true? Is it even possible? And if it is, why isn't it still going on? What's preventing it from happening today? Well, we're going to answer some of these questions, but before we do, we're going to break here to just present to you our free offers on today's program, as we usually do. Both of these, let me emphasize the fact, are indeed free. Nobody's going to be calling you and asking you for money. All you've got to do is dial 888-578-8791 on your screen there, or hit us on our website at www.cgi.org and ask for what you need to know about demon possession, and a one-hour presentation given before a live audience CD titled Women, Sex, Demons, and Giants. They're both free for the asking. All you've got to do is contact us on those two venues that I just mentioned. And don't forget about our free access to our webcasts during the week as well as Saturdays. Go to our website there and hit on webcast, and you'll see our schedule of these events in live time. That's right, live time. These are programs for your enjoyment as well as edification. And don't forget too about our app, our free app you can download on many of your mobile devices, be it iPads and telephones, providing you some versatility on accessing our website while you travel around and are waiting in doctor's offices. Very easy to operate, navigate, and makes our website very easy and simple to find certain things like Armors of God, past shows of web chats or sermons, Bring on the Sabbath, different programs that you may find very enjoyable. But don't forget now these two offers on today's program. Dial now 888-578-8791 or hit us on our website, as I mentioned, at www.cgi.org, and ask for what you need to know about demon possession or the one-hour presentation of Women, Sex, Demons, and Giants. Now, let's get back to the program here as we were talking about this idea about demons having sexual relations with human females and then bringing forth this giant, this hybrid species of giants, and happened to be all before the flood. That's right, all this happened before the Noachian deluge. Now, a lot of this information, admittedly, does not come from your Bible. No, it doesn't. It does connect up with your Bible in one portion. We're going to get to it here in a moment. But much of this comes from the book of Enoch. That's right. And in particular, an underscoring chapter to much of this, although some of this information is salt and pepper throughout the book of Enoch. But here in chapter 7, we find that this information is actually enlarged upon and expounded. Here in chapter 7 and verse 1, and I'm going to read it here. It happened after the sons of men had multiplied in those days that daughters were born to them, elegant and beautiful. And when the angels, the sons of heaven, beheld them, they became enamored of them, saying to each other, "Come, let us select for ourselves wives from the progeny of men, and let us beget children." And so these angels got the idea they were going to go off the reservation, break the veil of their spiritual dimension, and essentially encroach into the physical dimension and impregnate these ladies to provide a species of hybrids called giants. Allegedly, about 200 of these angels that are named actually in this particular chapter went off the reservation and did this. And in verse 11, we find it, the story confirmed, they conceived and brought forth giants. That's what the book of Enoch, this Ethiopic translation, the first book of Enoch, states. There is a second book of Enoch. I'm not going to digress into describing that, but this first book is primarily the one we're focused on because it deals with the angels and the watchers. Verse 12, though, I want you to notice this now. This is an important point to take into consideration when thinking about the credibility of this book. Notice verse 12. Whose stature, that is these giants, verse 11, remember they had giants, whose stature was each 300 cubits. That's right, 300 cubits. These devoured all which the labor of men produced until it became impossible to feed them. Now, when you figure a cubit is basically, depending on whether or not it's the Babylonian, Egyptian, and or Hebrew cubit, can range anywhere from 17 and a half inches on the small side, perhaps, to as long as 20 and a half inches, depending on, as I say, which cubit you're going to use, the Babylonian version, the Egyptian version, or the Hebrew version. So for the sake of our discussion here today, let's use the Hebrew version, 18 and a half inches roughly, the same size that allegedly Noah used in building the ark. 300 cubits times 18 inches, a foot and a half, comes out to, are you ready? 400 and 50 feet tall. It's no wonder these things were eating mankind out of house and home. I mean, 450 feet tall. Look, the Statue of Liberty is only 305 feet tall, and that's including the base. If you took the four faces on Mount Rushmore, you know, Roosevelt and those guys that are up there on Mount Rushmore, took their head sizes, scaled to those head sizes bodies that were in scale with the heads, those beings, those statues would be 465 feet, 15 feet taller than allegedly these giants. Now, my friends, when you think about that and consider the practicality and realism of a 450-foot giant in this case, I mean, where are the bones? We've got dinosaur bones that we have found that are a lot smaller than that. Brontosauruses, Triceratops, Tyrannosaurus rexes. So where's the femur of these giants that were 450 feet tall? Where's the hip bone of these giants? You know, maybe an arm bone, you know. How about a foot or a toe even, or a finger? Where are the bones of these 450-foot giants? Now, this is only one interesting point with regard to the book of Enoch. There are other very interesting points that I want to bring up to your attention here. I'm not probably going to be able to get through them all, but I do want to get through a few high points that remain here. And one of them is the alleged idea that the sons of God is an indication that the Bible is talking about angels in this respect. Now, that comes from over here in Genesis chapter 6. So let me bring your attention over to Genesis chapter 6, and let's review these scriptures, because this is the portion of scripture that many of those that purport this particular book of Enoch claim connects up with, in this case, the Bible. And so here in Genesis 6, verse 1, we read this: "And it came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God," okay, here it is, the sons of God, here's where they claim that we're talking about angels, "the sons of God saw the daughters of men, and they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God," there it is again, "when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bore children to them, the same became mighty men which were of old, and men of renown." Now, the argument is that these sons of God is indicative of the fact that they are angels, because the Bible is clear, and it does, and you can't deny the fact, claims that angels are considered to be, or termed, let's use that, termed as sons of God. But hold on here for a moment. Let's look at what the Bible has to say just for a moment. The Bible talks about things that reproduce after their kind. Notice here in Genesis chapter 1, verse 11, God said, "Let the earth bring forth grass and herbs and yield seed, fruit trees yielding fruit after its kind, whose seed in itself," here, and we see, "is after its kind, whose seed was after itself, after his kind." That's verse 12. Over here in verse 20, dropping down, we read this: "And God said, Let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creatures that have life, and fowl that may fly above the earth and in the open firmament of the heavens. And God created great whales and every living creature that moves, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind." So all these species were basically reproducing after their kind. And notice this over here in verse 26, "And God said, Let us make man. Let us make man in our image, after our likeness," after the God kind. That's what we're being told here in the Torah. Genesis is one of the books of the Torah. We're being told right out of the box that man was created after the God kind. Later on, we find even in the New Testament that Jesus himself said, doesn't your own law, remember when he got in the argument with the Sadducees and Pharisees, some of his favorite people, and he said, why are you picking up stones to stone me? And they said, well, you made yourself equal with God. Well, Jesus says, no, well, doesn't your law even say that you are God's? And he was quoting Psalms, the Old Testament, chapter 82, verse 6. It was no big deal that mankind would be considered sons of God. Go back to Genesis for a moment. I'm still there, chapter 1, and look at this in verse 27. So God created man in his own image. He created, in his own image, God created him, male and female. So there were two versions of this God kind. Now, I know many of you are well aware of the story where Cain slew Abel, and then Adam and Eve had a third son. You know the story, and his name was Seth. I want to bring your attention over here to chapter 4. Now, chapter 4, we're still pre-flood days. We're still before Noah built the ark. We're still during the time before the flood, the Noachian deluge. And here in verse 25, we read that Adam, again, made a baby with Eve. He says he knew his wife, and she bore him a son, and they called his name Seth. Okay. For God said, she has appointed me another seed, instead of Abel, who Cain slew. And to Seth, to him also, there was born a son. His name was Enos. Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. In other words, the Sethites, those progeny from the line of Seth, were begun to be called at that time by people in the pre-flood era of time. They were called sons of God. And therein lies a big, big connection, my friends, in understanding the truth and the underscoring revelation of what chapter 6 is talking about. Because what we're talking about here is not angels having sexual relations with females. We're talking about men, primarily from the progeny of Seth. Sethites, men who were being called after the name of the Lord. Well, what would that mean? They were being called the sons of Yahweh, the sons of God, the sons of Theos. That's all they were being called. And so here the Bible, interpreted itself, gives us an idea of just where to go with this. And in this particular case, we see that, of course, in his statements here, Moses, when he wrote this in chapter 6, verse 1, he meant that these men who saw the daughters of men were indeed nothing more than human beings. They were human men who were having sexual relations with women of their same species who were giving birth to other human beings on the earth in the pre-flood days. In other words, like in the days of Noah, your Bible says there in Matthew 24, Luke 21, Mark 13, that in the days of Noah, they were giving in marriage and drinking and having fun and living their lives. Well, so it was in this particular case, as we see described here in chapter 6, verse 1. Now, here's something else to consider. The fact that there were giants after the flood. That's right, there were giants after the flood. Look it over here in Deuteronomy. Let me bring your attention to Deuteronomy chapter 2. And we're still in the Torah. We're still in the law. I want to bring your attention, though, to what Moses wrote here with regards to this idea about giants. And we even get an idea of how big these giants were when we're told here in chapter 2 of the book of Deuteronomy, notice, and the Emims dwelt therein in times past, a people great and many and tall as the Anakims. So here we see the Anakims and these particular ones that were called the Emims were tall people. And we get a little idea of just how tall and how great they were over here in verse 20. In the same chapter, chapter 2, verse 20, it says that also was accounted a land of giants. This land we come to understand is Bashan, but that's later on mentioned. It says here the giants dwelt therein in old times, and the Ammonites called them the Zamzumims, and the people great and many and tall as the Anakims. And here it goes on, but the Lord destroyed them before them, and they succeeded them and dwelt in their stead. Now notice this in chapter 3 in the book of Deuteronomy, next chapter over, we hear of one of their kings. His name was Og, and he was of Bashan, and he was one of the remaining remnants of the giants. And we read this in verse 11. Notice, for only Og, king of Bashan, remained of the remnant of the giants. Behold, his bedstead. This is how big his bed was, by the way. This is going to give us an idea of how big these giants were. His bedstead was of iron, and it was in a Rabbath of the children, and it was 9 cubits. 9 cubits. How big is 9 cubits? Well, we know how big 300 cubits is. If it's 18 inches, it's roughly about 13 and a half feet. This bed was 13 and a half feet by about 6 foot wide. 13 and a half feet long by 6 foot wide. We understand later on that in Samuel, the book of Samuel, when David fought Goliath, that Goliath, it's understood to have been somewhere between maybe 9, maybe 12 feet at max, high as big. He had a big spear like a beam, you know, it was so heavy. So we begin to get a concept of how big these giants were. But come on, 450 feet tall? Where are the bones? We've got bones, as I said, of dinosaurs that were a lot smaller, a lot smaller than these alleged giants that Enoch claims. So where are the bones? Certainly, if the bones of a Brontosaurus, a Tyrannosaurus, a Triceratops would basically survive, why wouldn't the bones of these 450-foot-tall beings, these hybrids of angels, survive? My friends, so many things are missed, overlooked, and people get all Twitter-pated and infatuated over the ideas of some of these, what appear to be in their minds, these very interesting ideas. Go back now to chapter 6 with me for a moment here, because I want to bring your attention back to a very small, overlooked, but very important point of consideration to keep in mind, to keep in the context, so that you stay on the reservation, so that you stay on the rails, and you're not easily influenced or persuaded one way or the other, to and fro with different doctrines and ideas of men that really do mislead us in so, so many areas, my friends. Notice this now. Let me bring your attention back over here to chapter 6. In the book of Genesis, one more time, and I'm going to pick up for the sake of time in verse 2, that the sons of God, these would be the sons of the Seth progeny, these guys, these Sethites, saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. Now notice verse 3. Don't overlook this. Don't mitigate or marginalize this statement we're about to read. Notice, he says here in verse 3, and the Lord said, my spirit, God said, my spirit shall not always strive with man. Did you hear what I said? With man, not with angels. Enoch goes so far as he lists actually even some of the names of these angels, Asiel, Akbiel, Tamiel, Ramuel. These were some of the names of alleged angels that went off the reservation that had intercourse with women. Why wouldn't God say here in chapter 6 and in verse 3 that if indeed these angels did in fact go off and did in fact break the veil and did in fact impregnate human female women, why wouldn't he say, the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with angels, Ramuel, you know, Aziel, these guys, these beings who allegedly went ahead and broke the veil, broke the DNA, the firewall, if you will, and impregnated females to develop a hybrid giant. My friends, the fact is the Bible is consistent in its context, very consistent in its context here. As we read in verse 3, the Lord said, "My spirit shall not always strive with man." Why is this being said? Because the fact remains. These were Sethites that were going off the rails. Mankind was evil at this time. That's why God flooded the earth. We drop down. Let me just take a moment here to reiterate where verse 4 states, there were giants in the earth in those days. We already made the point, and I already showed you there in Deuteronomy. You can read about Goliath. You can read about these giants of the time that were also in the pre-flood. They were also found and discovered, and we see them running around and even being identified with King Og and the Anakims and so forth. I mean, we understand they lived in the area of Bashan after the flood. So you can see giants were no strange or rare item. They were all over, and guess what? David slew them. They weren't all that tough. David slew them. Israel slew them. The Lord God killed many of these giants. Oh, they were big, of course, but they weren't unbeatable. My friends, there is just so much that we could talk about regarding this subject, and I know I've only just scratched the surface on so much of this, and there is so much left yet to say, but let me bring your attention back to our offer, because on our offer, you're going to be able to get into much more nitty-gritty. Both of them are free. All you've got to do is dial that 888 number at 578-8791 or hit us on our website at www.cgi.org. Ask for what you need to know about demon possession. And this one-hour presentation before a live audience titled Women, Sex, Demons, and Giants. It will go into much more detail, far more detail. I just scratched the surface on today's program with regards to this topic, and I know it is an interesting topic because I've seen so many people exploring this topic on the internet that it just blows my mind, quite frankly. It's mind-boggling to see so many Christians consumed and absorbed and, frankly and sadly, embracing this kind of deceit and these kinds of lies and demonic doctrines of devils and demons. I mean, it's ridiculous. My friends, dial the number 888-578-8791 or hit us on our website at www.cgi.org and ask for both of those. And let me emphasize now, free offers for the taking. My friends, this is Bill Watson reminding all of you, you keep on that armor of God so that you don't get persuaded and dissuaded into believing teachings such as this.
Armor of God and the free material offered is brought to you by the Church of God International of Tyler, Texas. You may write to us at 3900 Thames Street, Tyler, Texas, 75701, or call toll-free at 1-888-578-8791, or call 1-903-939-2929 during regular business hours. You may visit our website at www.cgi.org or email us at armorofgodcgi.org. We appreciate your prayers and support.
This program is sponsored by the Church of God International and supported by our viewers.